Welcome to One in Christ, where the radiant story of Jesus come to life.
Good morning.
大家早安。
Welcome to OIC Church.
欢迎大家来到我们教会。
If you remember where we were, yes, last week, we were at chapter 21 of Genesis. The next chapter is going to be chapter 22. Thank you very much. Chapter 22 is one of the most familiar verses in the Bible, the sacrifice of Isaac.Lots of kids, and if they stay here, they probably some of them know exactly what happened over there. Chapter 22, we shall read from verse 1 all the way to verse 19. You have a Mandarin over there. If you read, you can read with me. That's going to be ESV version. Genesis chapter 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am, he said.Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as the burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him.On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and I, the boy, will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac and his son, and it took it to his hand, the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together, and Isaac said to his father Abraham, Father,And he said, Here I am, my son. He said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood.Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to his day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham the second time from heaven and said,By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring will possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice.So Abraham returned to his young man, and he arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived at Beersheba. That's the word of God. Let's pray.
我们一起来祷告。
Father, we come to you not because we are able, but because you called us.
神，我们来到你面前不是我们可以，而是因为你这样呼召我们。
You speak to us first. Now, the children of God will respond.
神，你对我们说话，现在作为你的儿女，我们要有一样的回应。
Lord, Holy Spirit, open our eyes and open our heart so that we know the Lord who is still speaking even today.
圣灵，求你能够开我们的眼睛，开我们的耳，让我们知道上帝是到如今都是说话的神。
Blessed are the time together in front of you, and we pray in your Son, Jesus Christ's name.
祝福我们在你面前的时间，奉主耶稣基督名求祷告。
Amen.That's 19 verses we have just read, and that story is very, very famous.
所以我们读了刚刚十九节的内容，这段故事是非常知名的。
It's very interesting because the last chapter we just talk about the birth of Isaac. And Abraham was in his 100-year-old, and the promise was eventually fulfilled. That's a great thing. And we talk about the conflicts right after that. So even though the God's promise fulfilled, that doesn't mean you have a peace and happiness in the family.
所以很奇怪的是，上一章我们刚刚讲到以撒终于出生了，在亚伯拉罕100岁的时候，我们也看到马上在他出生之后，他们家庭的问题并没有解决，他还是会有这种问题。
But the chapter 21 ended at when Abraham settled at Beersheba.
对，第21章在他亚伯拉罕在别示巴就在那里定居的结束。
Well, think of yourself, okay? God has been dealing with you from when you were 75 years old. It lasted about 25 years. Now the child is born. And you know, you have an Ishmael issues. You have this and that issues. You settle that down. Now you have a place where you can retire, kind of thing. You know, you got everything settled. You want to retire now.
想象一下是这样的一个处境，就是神75岁招你出来。 在你100岁的时候，经过了25年，你有了孩子，然后有那个应许之子，然后现在呢，好像你找到一个地方，你可以定居，就好像你可以去退休了。Abraham
is like in his 100 some years old, and then, you know, like every 100 some years old, you want to go to retire and fish somewhere, you know, that kind of thing. But after all these things, you think your life is good and settled, you're done. Boom! God showed up. And at the very first verse, after these things, God tested Abraham.
就好像是说，在我退休了，我要去钓鱼一样。然后亚伯拉罕过得好像挺舒服。然后突然上帝又找到亚伯拉罕，就说神要试验他。How
many of you like tests?
多少人喜欢考试？
The Liberty students love them.
作为学生都肯定很喜欢。It's
only March. Just wait for a couple of weeks. It's coming. Like it or not.
这才三月，马上就再过几个月就期末，你喜不喜欢？
If you're Liberty students, you're college students, you know you expect some kind of tests. You know, Jake just had a big test, and you passed it. Are you missing it? No, he's shaking his head. Once you're done for so many years, right? I don't know how many years you're good for the bar exam, but after you're done with that, you just wish that it will never happen again. This guy, 100-some years old, being tested, being called, failed, succeeded, in his old age and some 100 years old. Boom, another test. It's like you passed a bar exam, you think you're a good lawyer, there's something, boom, coming to you. Again. It's horrible.
所以我们作为学生，这个考试是经常的，我们总要被考试。就像有人如果要做律师，他需要去通过一个律师的测验，但是你问他，他会怀念这个过程吗？他肯定不会说我很怀念他。 在亚伯拉罕这里也是同样的处境，神经历了给他不同的试验，他有的时候成功，有时候失败，然后到现在最后他以为已经结束了，突然神又降临，又给他一个大的考验。So
the first word basically set up the frame for the whole chapter that we just read, the test. What does that mean? We're going to talk about the first thing is a test. What does it mean? Why is it going through test? What kind of thing God is trying to achieve from the test? The second thing is going to talk about the most famous the word, if you can extract out of this chapter, is the faith. What is the faith? What does the faith look like? What's the nature of a faith? That's what we're going to talk about. And of course, the whole chapter ended at, oh no, you know, someone's called a faith. I'm sorry, it's a different faith. It's their faith. So the chapter ended at God provides and the God's promise. We're going to stop over there. And so the three typical words, the keywords that we have out of this contact, this paragraph, is test, faith, and promise, or provides.
所以在这章里面，如果我们去讲三个点的话，第一个就是说，什么是测验，什么是考验，它是什么意思，为什么上帝要给他这样的考验，到底上帝想要得到什么，在这个考验之中。第二个就是讲到说信心，它看起来应该是怎么样，或者信心的本质应该是什么样。第三个点就是上帝的应许，并且上帝的供应在这里面。所以我们这一章都会围绕这三个点去讲。
All right, let me read Deuteronomy 8:2. You do not have to go there if you want. That's okay. Deuteronomy 8:2. When Moses was talking, He said, you shall remember, he's talking to his people, you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not.
所以在申命记的八章二节里面讲到说，你们也要纪念耶和华你的神在旷野引导你这四十年，是要苦练你，试验你，要知道你心内如何，肯守他诫命不肯。
So the test is basically the purpose of having the test is this, to show what you know, to show who you are. That's basically you think you're the smartest kid on campus. Okay, we don't know it until the test is passed. So.The purpose of having a test done is to show who you are and what you have in your heart based on Deuteronomy 8:2 and common sense.
在考验的时候，我们最经历测验的时候，就是基本上就是说你到底是什么样的人，然后你是怎么样，你是不是有这样的成绩？就好像你说我是最聪明的人，那我们就给你一个考试，那看看你的分数如何。所以在这里面，基本上上帝给他考验，就像我们刚刚读的经文一样，上帝想知道你是怎么样的人，并且你的心在哪里。
Of course, God gave Abraham's test not for him, but and for us as well to show what faith looks like.
不只是给亚伯拉罕这样的考验，而是给我通过亚伯拉罕的考验，让我们看到信心它应该是什么样子的。
His test is a little bit different from the test that we receive, you know, at Liberty in different places. There are three different distinctive things.That we probably need to pay attention to in Abraham's test.
所以在亚伯拉罕的试验里面，他和我们平常所经历的考试是不太一样的。我们会花些时间来讲。
Does Abraham know that he's being tested? No, he's just being called. He just to do it. The text doesn't say, Abraham.Test time before the semester is gone, before you're done, before you really graduate into death, you know, you have to pass this test, otherwise you will fail. No, there's no nothing over there. It's just like God called him. He doesn't know that he's being tested.
所以亚伯拉罕知道他被考验吗？其实他并不知道，而是上帝就说，亚伯拉罕，你就做这个事情。他不像说，哦，上帝跟他讲说，你马上要面对一个考验，然后你好好准备一下这样子。
It doesn't like the test that you're receiving. You know exact day that you're going to be tested and what content you'll be tested for. You have a review sessions and everything else. Then you're going to, you know, spend 24 hours to pass the exam. And after that, you're done with it and you forget about everything. So it's not like that test. This test is not known to Abraham.So the test is for Abraham's daily walk with the Lord.
所以它不像我们的考试说你会知道你考试日期、考试内容，我们甚至还会有复习的过程。而亚伯拉罕这个考试就是上帝在考验他每天是不是都是像这样去有这样信靠神的这样的心。
We're going to come back to this point, but you probably are being tested.When you don't know, you're probably in the test right now. We're going to come back to the application point. But that's my first point. The test is not known to Abraham when he was tested.
第一点就是这个亚伯拉罕不知道他被神考验，可能和我们的处境一样，我们在经历一些考验，但是我们不知道我们自己在这个考验当中。
And the second thing is this test is just painful, gut-wrenching, and very challenging.It's not like you can prepare for it. And the third point, I just put them all together, is kind of like unreasonable. It's just beyond people's comprehension.
这个测验它其实是非常的撕心裂肺，非常有挑战，非常痛苦的。那我们把第三点放在一起来看的话，这好像甚至是不合乎常理的。
In verse 2, 3, 6, 9, 10, there's one word that's been repeated. Your son, your only son, the son you loved. And it's been repeated many, many times. It's trying to tell Abraham, I'm going to deal with the son I have promised many, many years ago. I give you this.I looks like I'm going to take that away from you. It just doesn't make any sense. It's unreasonable. It's not irrational. God does not want Abraham to believe a square is a circle, or square is a circle. No, he's telling Abraham to do something that's beyond his ability to make sense of this world. He's just painful. It's not like, John, do this. John is like, okay, I'll do it. 1 second, it's done. Impulsive, get it done. 3 days, God asked him to get this guy, get his son ready, to go to the mountain, travel on the donkey. I don't know what happened in those 3 days. It didn't mention in the Bible, but it's a long turn. 3 days, if you travel from here, I don't know, even if you drive, you can go all the way probably to where? Maine? Somewhere around there. And in the car drive, you start thinking about, did I hear it right? Maybe it doesn't make any sense. Should I just go back and turn around? And there are so many things you can think about, but it's just painful, challenging, and unreasonable. So the test is different.
所以在这里面，在圣经里面二节、六节、九节、十节里面反复提到说，你的儿子，你独生的儿子，就是你所爱的以撒，就反复在重复，就好像上帝在跟他讲一个事情，我给你的这个儿子，我将要把他拿走。他不是一个，他看起来是一个不合理，但是上帝不是说你把一个方做成一个圆，而是说让他做一个超出他自己认知所能理解的事情。 在这个过程中是三天长长的这个时间，他全部这个时间里面都要思考说，我要把我的儿子去献给神。他就好像我们开车一样，我们也会去思考这几天到底该怎么样去过去。So
during the test in this period, it looks like, sounds like, God, who is faithful and merciful, becomes your worst enemy. God is challenging your core belief right now. It's challenging, it's asking Abraham to sacrifice not only his son, his future, his hope, and his ability or his comprehension to make sense of this world. It just doesn't make any sense at all now. It looks like everything I've worked for so long, I've been trusting you for so long, now you want me to give it all up? It doesn't make any sense at all. So it's just not the sacrifice of his son that's challenging. It's sacrificing everything Abraham's ever believed.
所以在这里面对他的对神，神对他的挑战是说，那我还是在你的理解来说，我还是一个信实并且充满怜悯恩典的神吗？不只是这样，他还在挑战他的核心的信仰。他献上他的儿子，代表着他把他的未来、把他的希望、把对神的这个理解都全部的都被挑战。在这个长时间的信任里面，你现在要挑战我说我对你的认识到一个这种程度吗
？We're gonna come back to that again, but I'll give you a little hint. Sometimes when you're in the test, you're really thinking, maybe you're in a situation where you think God is actually against you. Whatever you believe, whatever you treasure, whatever you cherished, what you work for in your life, is God is kind of like taking that away from you.
当我们在经历这种考验的时候，我们很多时候觉得说，上帝，你是不是在跟我作对？我所爱的、所在乎的、所努力的这一切，你好像都把它拿走了。
Let's think about the second point then. So how did Abraham respond? It sounds really simple. He just did it, you know. He just take the son and go three days, then to put the son on the altar. He's trying to kill the son. God stopped it. It sounds very, very simple. But let's look closely into it. What he has done, how he responded to the test.
这也就带我们去看了第二点，就是信心到底是什么？难道就是亚伯拉罕就这样做了，然后他就带他儿子就三天，然后把儿子杀了，然后神阻止他这么简单而已吗？其实并不是这样，所以我们要花一些时间来看。Yeah,
before we get to the faith, I know you know the story. This story has been explained so many different angles and different themes. It looks so much like Jesus Christ on the 3 days, the atonement, and the only begotten son being sacrificed on the altar, God provides, those type of things. And we talk about the faith of Isaac, because as a little boy, he didn't really, you know, fight against the, if Isaac at that time, if he fights his dad, no one can, you know, put him on the altar. I couldn't even put Timmy on the altar. Yeah. You know, no, can't do that. He's going to kick me off. You know, it's just not. But this text, in a New Testament text, did not mention Isaac, the faith. Let me read Hebrews for you, and I'll go back to the main theme. The Hebrew 11:17-19, that's a reinterpretation of this paragraph. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. So basically, Hebrews 11 talking about the faith of Abraham.
所以在希伯来书11:17-19里面讲到说亚伯拉罕因着信被试验的时候就把以撒献上，这便是那欢喜领受应许的将自己独生的儿子献上，论到这儿子曾有话说，从以撒生的才要成为你的后裔。 他以为神还能叫死人复活，他也仿佛从死中得回他儿子来。So
basically, Abraham's faith. Let me give you three sub points to tell you what faith is all about. Okay, that's three important parts when it comes to faith. What does it mean by faith? It's all illustrated in this story. First, when you believe him, when you put the faith in something, there's a subject. What do you really believe? That's actually one of the most important things. Abraham did not come with faith. He was responding to the call, to the subject, to the word of God, to the revelation of God. So the first point of being faithful or faith is the subject, what you really believe in. That's the first point.
所以第一个点关于信心，其实就是说我们信的对象是什么，这是最重要一点。不是说亚伯拉罕有什么信心，而是他因着神，他是怎么样的启示，他上帝是怎么样的神，然后他对神有这样的一个回应。
So the first point is what to trust and what to believe. That's the first point. The second point is trust itself.
第二点就是信任本身。
Believing things that are beyond our reason and the comprehension. It's not blind nor irrational. Okay, you accept and believe beyond your reason. It's not like you're trying to make sense out of it, then you accept it. No. It's because God said it, you respond by accepting what God has said. That's trust. That's the second point of being faith.
So, 第二点就是相信一些事情甚至超过你的认知和理解的，它不是一个就盲信或者是一个不合理的，而是不是一个说我先感受，然后先看一下，然后我再接纳，而是因为上帝是这样讲的，我去因为信任他的缘故，我愿意去接纳他。
The third thing is obey. You've seen that song. We sang the song this morning. Trust and obey. There's no other way. You wanted to be happy in Jesus, but trust and obey. Trust and obey. So yes, I accept what God has said. I accept the fact, but you have to take an action. That's obey. It's not like Abraham said, "Yes, God, thank you very much. You know, there's no, you know. I'm not taking this boy up. But I trust you." No, it's not true faith.
第三个就是说，真正的信心是一个，因为你信的缘故，所以你愿意去顺从，去甚至去付出一些行动。不像亚伯拉罕说：“哦，上帝，我信你。”但是他没有任何的行动，而是他信，他就把他儿子就给献上了。
It's like, you know, after my first daughter got the driver's license, I think, and I trust you. You're the best drivers in Lynchburg and stuff. Yeah, you say it. You put yourself in the passenger seat. That's what really faith is.
所以如果做个比喻的话，就像我的女儿刚拿到她的驾照，然后我说啊，你是个最好的司机，林奇宝最好司机。但是我真正相信她是，当我坐在她副驾驶的时候，我能够不慌。
Well, I don't even believe that, but So faith has to take an action. Three things. I mean, that's very easy to understand. The fact, the things that you believe in, and the second is the trust, intellectual assent. You accept it. Doesn't really matter if it makes sense or not. The third is to take an action.
所以这就是信的三个点，就是说我们能够信的对象是什么，然后我们愿意去信任他，然后第三个就因为信任的缘故，我们愿意付出行动。
In the book of James, basically shows that your faith is not a true faith until it shows in the works.
就像雅各书讲的说，你的信心不是真的，除非你真的有这样的信的行为。
So let's go back to Abraham's faith. He actually, of course, he believes what God has told him, and he took an action.
所以当然亚伯拉罕信神，然后所以因着信的缘故，他有这样的行动。
But the key things that he have to believe revolves with his son Isaac and the sacrifice.
最重要的事情，他的那信的东西，它里面有一个很重要的核心，就是他的儿子。
In the story, this is how Abraham trying to make sense out of it, and he took action. He actually, when he talked to his servant, he said, you know, my Isaac and I would just go to that place God showed me, and we will be back. We will be back. So he's not like, I don't know, I'm just going there, maybe he's back, and I'm going to be dead, and he's going to kill me. I don't know what happened, but he said, we are going to be back. So based on the Hebrew 11 we just read, figuratively, he thought, that's what he was thinking, he thought God is going to raise this guy from death. Figuratively, yes, that's what happened. But that's what he's trying to make sense out of this whole sacrifice thing.
所以我们如果花些时间来看，就是亚伯拉罕是怎么样去跟他的仆人讲，当他要和以撒去到那个山上去献以撒的时候，他说：“你们在这里等我，我们两个人会一起回来，而不是我一个人。”然后在这上面，他是在结合我们刚刚读的希伯来书的内容，讲到说，他觉得上帝会能够使他死而复活。So
the question is, does Abraham know what God was about to do?
问题是亚伯拉罕知道他会做什么吗？
The answer is no. But he took an action based on what he knew about God. He knows God is faithful. He knows God is merciful. He knows God is gracious. He knows God is good. He knows God enough to take an action. He interpreted the whole thing not according to what God's plan was. God got the ram. He didn't even think about the ram. He just thought God is going to raise up his kid. But he took an action. So when we practice our faith, I'm coming to the application side a little bit. When we practice our faith, when we face the test, it's not like God gave you a map to tell you, okay, you are in the test, but I'm going to give you instructions. Tomorrow you're going to do this. Tomorrow afternoon you're going to do that. If you don't do it, you're going to be screwed. If you do it according to my plan, you're going to be good. No. No, 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 no. God wants you to act, to take an action based on how much you know about him. So when you take an action, you will know him, not just know about him. You have your first-hand experiences with this gracious, merciful, and faithful God. That's what happened to Abraham. So when God called him, God didn't give him a detailed instruction or a map. God just called him. He's trying to make sense out of this call. And it took an action. God is okay with it. But God intervened. That's actually the third point. So he passed the exam. He passed the test because he took an action according to what he knew about God.
所以在这里面，我们如果回到这个问题，说亚伯拉罕知道神会怎么做吗？他其实是不知道的。但是他为什么还有这样的行为呢？就是说，因为根据他以往对神的认识，上帝是信实的，上帝是有恩典的，上帝是好的，上帝是甚至是会有这样的预备的一个神。所以他的这个信息的行为，不像是说上帝告诉你一个非常精确的地图，让你告诉你，今天你会被考验，明天你会被考验。如果你没有这样做，没有达成我的考验，你就会怎么样？你会完蛋了。 而是亚伯拉罕根据他对上帝的认识，在他不知道上帝会怎么做的时候， 他去这样有这样的行为，所以他有这样一手第一手亲自的经历上帝，说他真的是一个信实，真的是一个有恩典，真的是一个好的神。
Chapter 22 is similar to chapter 12 where Abraham was called. God, you know, when Abraham was first called, God called him out of his comfort zone, his place that he's familiar with, the Ur of Chaldean. That's where his family was. God called him out of that.Into the place where God will show him. He didn't even know where he was going. And God called him to do something he did not make sense to him. Exactly the same thing over here. God called him out of his 100-year-old comfort of life. And God called him to the place where he didn't know. God called him to do something that's beyond his reason. And after that, every time when God obeyed, when Abraham obeyed,God gave him a promises, and God gave him blessings. It's exactly the same thing over here, which we're going to look at.
所以如果把第十二章和第二十二章做一个比较的话，其实它两个有很相像的地方，都是上帝把亚伯拉罕从他最舒适的环境里面给带出来。在第十二章，亚伯拉罕75岁的时候，上帝让他离开他的父家，到一个他都不知道要去哪的地方。到第一百，在他100岁，也是22章里面讲到说，他不知道上帝会怎么样对他的儿子，但是他去这样去做，然后上帝因为他的行为，然后给他一些应许。
So God actually blessed Abraham after he obeyed.
在他顺服之后，上帝也就这样祝福亚伯拉罕。
It's a lengthy quote from the book of Hebrews, basically.Trying to reinterpret the whole scenario over there. We looked at that when we preached, when we looked at the book of Hebrew, but I just want to read that, highlight one verse for you when you face your task. Hebrews 6, from 13 all the way to 20. It's a lengthy quote. Hebrews 6, 13 says, For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself. Remember, in chapter 22, the angel of God swore by himself. I mean, if you go to the court, you swore by yourself, you swear by yourself, your vow is invalid, you know, by myself.I'm telling the truth and whole truth, nothing but the truth. What do you think you are? You know, you put in hand the Bible, put in a law, put in something. By that, you swear. But when God made the declaration over there, he said, by himself, by myself, I give you this and this and this. That's a promise from God itself.
So 在这里面，在希伯来书的六章里面讲的说，神其实由这样点出来说，神是指着自己去启示的。如果举个例子，我们在法庭里面，我说我指着我自己发誓，我讲的都是真实的，那其实不合理的，因为你是谁，你没有这样的一个就是决定权，你一定要指着一个比你更高的地方去启示。
So Hebrews 6:14, I'm continue to read the 14 saying, surely.I will bless you and multiply you. That's basically the direct quote from chapter 22 of Genesis. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise, for people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes has an oath. It's the final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to heirs of the promise of the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath.So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled from refuge might have a strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. Verse 19, we have this as a sure and a steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus is gone as the forerunner for our behalf, having become the high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So the key thing, after quoting lengthy quote from Genesis 22, the author of Hebrews said, God not just made a promise, he made a declaration.Because Abraham had done, he promised that he will continue his covenant with his people. that thing is continued. Because of what God has sworn by himself, we have this, what verse 19 says, a sure and a steadfast anchor of the soul. The sure, steadfast anchor of the soul. Not because of what you perceive, what you imagine, is because of what God had declared according to Abraham's faith.
所以在希伯来书里面讲到说论福我必赐大福给你论子孙我必叫你子孙多起来这样亚伯拉罕既恒久忍耐就得了所应许的人都是指着比自己大的启示并且以启示为实据了结了各样的争论照样神愿意为那承受应许的人格外显明他的旨意是不更改的就以启示为证 借这两件不更改的事情神绝不能说谎好叫我们逃往避难所持定摆在我们面前前头指望的人可以得到大勉励我们有这指望如同灵魂的锚坚固又牢靠且通入幔内作为先锋的耶稣既照着麦基洗德的等次成了永远大祭司就为我们进入幔内在这里面其实上帝不只是有这样的宣言他其实就是一个宣言因为亚伯拉罕 的信的缘故，并且付出了行动，上帝就延续了他的约，让我们可以有这样的锚，可以去不是按照一个我们自己的想象，而是按照一个实际发生的事情去指着他，去信靠他。
Having a test is a part of life. You and I will have a test one way or another in our life. You're probably in a test already that you don't know, like Abraham didn't know that he was being tested. Maybe you are facing uncertainty of life. Your health is declining. Maybe you saw the nodule in the lung. Maybe you are in remission of cancer. Maybe you are in the challenging relationship. Maybe your job is on the line. I was preaching at Charlottesville. Half of the city was federal government employee. Everybody's losing the job. Let's not talk about the government thing. Let's talk about the anxiety people's facing right there. The things that they worked for their life is being forfeited, is going away. Maybe you are senior in liberty. Maybe you're still looking for a job. Maybe you have been turned down many times. Maybe you have been through interviews after interviews, and your OPT, do you even know what OPT is? Optional, some kind of a training thing. After you have your student visa, after you graduate, you have a certain year in the United States to find a job, then change your immigration status in order to stay in this country. But if you do not have a job, your OPT will expire. You have to go back to your home country. Maybe you have kids already, and you don't know where the kids are going to go for school. Maybe you have kids going for the driver's license. My wife said, and when our oldest daughter got a driver's license, she had her phone all the time with her because she's afraid of someone from police department or from hospital is going to call that phone eventually. Maybe we are being tested one way or another. It doesn't really matter if you're young, if you're old, if you're from China, you're stayed here forever, you are being tested. To do what? To show who you really are. And what you really believe. Every time you are being challenged by the life test, you are being shown who you really are and what you really believe.
所以像这样的考验，它其实是我们生命中的一部分。 不管我们是不是在这当中，我们是否知道，是否不确定，我们好像总是被不同的事情所挑战，我们的关系，我们的工作，我们的健康，我们面试，我们是不是不断反复在经历面试，甚至我们会考虑我们自己在毕业之后，我们的 OPT 的情况，可能有的时候你已经有孩子了，就像是牧师他的太太，他当他女儿第一次拿到驾照的时候，他太太会把手机放在身边，他时刻去想到说，哎，会不会他有些什么事情发生，我们没有办法去避免他的临到。 但是每一次的事情在我们生活中对我们的考验都在反映说我们到底是怎么样的人并且我们到底相信的是什么
The question is not about the test because you are going to have one and probably you are having one now. The question is how are you going to face the test? You put your hand in the sand, you just don't care about it and you're just using substance or you're just playing video game to kill your day, to just basically ignore everything. There are so many ways to do it. There's a good way and a bad way. The Bible shows us the most efficient and accurate and correct way to do it. That's the Abrahamic way or a biblical way to do it. And we talk about faith. So when you are challenged by the life test, you probably need to take a deep breath to really think about what you really believe. And if you believe in this God, who this God is determine how you respond to the life challenge. Is a God, the God of grace, God of mercy? Is he a good God? Maybe you can believe it. You can raise your hand when you sing a song. But when you are challenged, that's when your true belief is being shown.
所以在我们面对我们的挑战的时候，我们是不在乎吗？ 还是我们在玩电玩，或者是我们就把手放在沙子里面，什么事情也不做吗？ 但在这里面，圣经给我们了一个最有效的方式，就是亚伯拉罕回应的方式，就是通过这个信心去面对我们生命中的考验。我们信什么？我们对神的信心到底是怎么样？在这个时候被挑战，我们所信的神是怎么样？直接反映在我们是如何回应当中。那我们，对神的认识也在这里面被考验出来。
It's so easy that you think it is a platitude. It's trust and obey. Trust and obey. Sometimes it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You think God is against you. When you become Christian, I have young people come to me, not in this church, come to me asking me, Pastor, you know, after I became a Christian, my life is going down. I'm asking, what do you mean by going down? There's so many things I cannot do, so many things I used to enjoy, and I cannot enjoy them anymore, you know. Someone's going to call me to go to cell group and do the Bible study. I have to do pray. I have to go to church. You know, it's just, you know, I don't like it. It looks like a God is against me by forcing me to do something I don't want to do. God becomes my worst enemy to some extent.
所以在这里面，我们很多时候会想说，我们是不是在了一个瓶颈里面，感觉好像生命的状态就是像一潭死水一样。 好像上帝是不是对我有什么意见？就好像有些年轻人不在这个教会当中，他会对我讲说：“神，牧师啊，这个我信主了之后，怎么感觉我每天想做的事情不能再做了？我喜欢做的事情也不可以做。我要去小组，要去教会，然后不喜欢做这些我不喜欢做的事情。上帝是不是对我有什么意见呢？”
A lot of things you can say about that, but the easiest way to just say is trust and obey. God gave you the prescription. Give you the way how to live your life. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense from first. Just do it. He says you should do it. Just do it. That's as easy as that. A lot of things doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but just do it. Trust and obey. There's no other way. That's the message is simple enough. But the whole chapter, I'm just giving you a stamp. The whole chapter doesn't and like a trust and obey. They had an altar. Abraham worshiped the Lord. He named that place God Provides, Jehovah Jireh. That place is not called Abraham Submitted. The place is not called Abraham Obeyed. The place is called God Provides. Okay, we can try our effort to trust and obey the Lord. And if you're honest about yourself, all the efforts will probably come short one way or another because we are so bound into the sinful situation by our limitations. We're so bound by it. But the beauty of Christianity is it's not about some faithful fathers. It's not about something that who has stronger faith. It's all about who God is. When you are tested, you challenge yourself about what do you believe about him. God is saying, it does not really matter that much. You just basically do what you know about me, and I will provide anyway, because my name is Jehovah Jireh. So if you're in a life situation, you don't even think you can go on. It's too hard. It's bitter. And you don't even know if you want to come to church anymore, read your Bible anymore, want to pray anymore, want to go to the cell group anymore. You think you're at the end of your Christian journey. There's still one thing that's going to stand. That's called Jehovah Jireh. And He is going to provide. And you know what? As a 21st century Christian, we look back. He did provide. He provides His only begotten Son to die on you, to pay all the ransom that you are being bound in the devil. So He did it. And He saved you. So He's a faithful God. He's a gracious God. He's a good God. Not just by word, lip service. It's by His action. So Jehovah Jireh is the end of the chapter.
So in this chapter, 如果做一个简单的讲法，就是说最简单的一个事情，就是你信靠，然后顺服，你就这样做吧。虽然你不知道他会怎么样，但是如果我们看一下亚伯拉罕，他做了什么事情，他是把自己，他造了一个祭坛，他给那个祭坛起名叫耶和华以勒，他并没有起名说这个是亚伯拉罕的有信心，亚伯拉罕有多么的顺服，而是他是说，因为我知道上帝是一个会供应的神，所以我因着这样的缘故，我去命名这个祭坛。 虽然有的时候我们是有限的，我们很多时候是不足的，但是耶基督徒的信仰很美好的之处就是，我们不是在信一些属灵上或者信心很伟大的人，也不是在比较我们到底谁更有信心，而是在说我们到底相信的神他是一个什么样的神，好让我可以在我所在的处境中，根据我对他的认识，我可以做我应当做的事情。Verse
Romans 8:32. You probably need to keep that in mind in different versions. That's the ESV. If he who died did not spare his own son, give him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? If he give up his son to us, he's going to give everything. We always ask God, bless me with wisdom, bless me with faith, bless me with this, bless me with that. It looks like when we pray, we're lacking something. God is withholding something for us. God gave everything to you already because everything is in His Son. If God does not spare His Son, is God going to withhold anything? The answer is no. He has given everything. That's His Son. Jesus Christ.
如果我们引用罗马书第8章的第32节，神既不爱惜自己的儿子为我们众人舍了，岂不把万物和他一切和他一同白白的赐给我们吗？就是神已经把他最爱的儿子给了我们，那他所有的这些我们所求的一切也都会给我们。
Timmy's middle name is actually Jireh. That's a Chinese name, Yile. Because we were in the most difficult life situation at that time. It was just hard. We can talk after that, but it was just hard. 3 kids with the number 4 on the road. At that time, we don't know where to go. We don't have a job at that time as yet. It was just bad. But we named him Jireh. Not because we are able to go through the difficulties of life, it's because God provides. And you know what God did? Not only is He providing, He did provide. What did He provide? The hope through Jesus Christ. And I give you this Jesus Christ today. If you're facing life challenge right now, I don't know what kind of test you're going through, no test is bigger enough for you not to be able to pass. Not because you're able, but because God said that He will provide.
所以在牧师的儿子 Timmy 的中间名叫以勒，也是他的中文名。这个是当时他们有3个孩子，然后第4个孩子 Timmy 马上就要出生，他们不知道未来是怎么样。他们起这个名字， 就是因为想要有这样的提醒，说上帝他会有这样的供应，上帝也曾经这样供应过，然后他的供应是通过耶稣基督，让我们可以面对我们现在的挑战。
So read chapter 22 and remember he provides.
我们读二十二章的时候，记得上帝是一个供应的神。
Let's pray.
我们一起来祷告。
Father, we're so thank you. We're so thankful for what you are saying in the word, but not only that, for what you have done before we know you, before we really trying to figure out who you are, before we're confused about what you're up to. Give us Jesus.As you promised to give your only begotten Son to show us how much you care about us, how much you care about our soul, how much you love us. Lord, with this Jehovah Jireh, take us to the cross so that we can look at your Son again. Our heart will be stirred up when we face the life test. Oh, life is still going on, but to you,will remain forever. Lord, give us the faith that's in Christ. Make the faith real to us. And we thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Please subscribe if you like our content. One in Christ as a multi-ethnic church, you're more than welcome to join us and to worship our Lord together. And we'd like to hear your unique stories with Jesus in the future.